Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Jeffrey K. Howard of VegasFilmCritic.com and KVBC Channel 3. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to have you here.
It's all yours.
Oh, that's so kind of you. So we're into the thick of the summer movie season. And
we just started.
Well, I mean, we're really getting,
to be Memorial Day, you know, right. But now it's like, well, you know, it's going to be Easter is going to be the summer season.
It's going to be summer all year.
Yeah, eventually. It is.
It's going to be nonstop blockbusters.
But, Iron Man 2, but then.
Right. And now I think we're really, you know, where the momentum is going and it's definitely. It's
I understand
summertime.
What you're saying.
Yes.
I didn't mean to use an
improper phrasing there.
We're out of the gate. That's
yes,
the
Yes, exactly. We are on our way.
Sure.
And the big blockbuster opening this week is Robin Hood.
A king does not bargain for the loyalty that every subject owes him. Without loyalty, there is no kingdom. There is nothing.
I'm here to speak for Sir Walter Locksley.
Speak if you must.
If you're trying to build for the future, you must set your foundation strong. The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king who demands loyalty but offers nothing in return. You build a country like you build a cathedral, from the ground up. Empower every man, and you will gain strength.
And I think we had a good start to the summer movie season with Iron Man 2. In contrast to that movie, which I enjoyed, which I had sort of lowered expectations for and had a fun time at, Robin Hood.
Sounds like you hated it.
I did kind of hate. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, hate is a strong word, so I don't necessarily
It's just
say
in
that
your podcast. You know, it's in your title, and you're known for that.
It's
Josh Bell kind of dislikes some things,
right.
You know?
Well, that's less memorable.
It's
so.
More marketing, right?
Right?
Exactly. Hate is not
it's
what you truly feel.
Brand. I mean, I feel hate sometimes for some movies, but I wouldn't say...
Oh, I do too.
I know.
What did I see recently that I just came out and I hated? Oh, I mean, I hated it. I came out just angry and bitter. What did we see?
Furry Vengeance?
No. I didn't actually because in context it was for kids. I understood that.
Yeah,
as an adult, I can see why. Okay, but when you use your powers of reasoning and say, look, if you were 7 years old, I saw it with a million kids.
I would keep my 7 year old away from that movie because you want to do like kids.
I wouldn't.
This is a digression, but kids. This is what I feel, and I don't have kids, so maybe I'm totally off base by saying this, but kids, as we know, as you're saying, are sort of accepting of all. You plop them down in front of something, and they'll probably just go with it. So if you're a parent, you want to make a good choice for your kid. You want to show your kid a better movie so you can sort of cultivate a better sense of taste. So I would not take my child to see Furry Vengeance. But
okay,
that is really not relevant at the moment.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'll think of what the movie was. But
you,
I mean,
think on it. Yes.
I actually came out. It's a long time since I came out just where you're ready to punch somebody and you're just really angry.
Right.
Robin Hood, for me, was the complete opposite. I mean, I was thinking along the lines, I hate to say this, of Lawrence of Arabia. I mean, that
really?
Kind of scale. Yeah.
Wow.
Because this is the worst marketing for this movie, because watching the trailer for the last month on television, I'm like holding my head going, this looks ridiculous. Because it was hard to conceive what they were going to do with Robin Hood. And I'm watching going, oh, this is just going to be one of those Braveheart ripoffs of them running around the forest and big battle scenes like in Troy, like in all of those films where it was just these actors being melodramatic and no believability whatsoever.
Right.
And I didn't think Robin Hood was a complete opposite because I thought it was historical. I thought it was well acted. I thought it was intriguing. And yes, it was a little half hour too long, you know, but it's that kind of movie they're going to make it long.
You have to make it a half hour.
Yeah, you have
long.
To make it 2.5 hours because, you know, everybody's out there. We got all these extras. Well, might as well make it longer than it should be. And, but then you had the kind of the corny love story in there. But what's unique about it is that he's not running around in tights. We've seen, I mean, nothing can beat the Errol Flynn version,
right.
But now it's the backstory. albeit a dramatized backstory.
Just a made-up backstory. I mean, the guy's not a real historical figure anyway.
No, he's not. And if you watch the incredible documentary on the History Channel, The Real Robin Hood, this two-hour special where they break down everything, including interviewing Ridley Scott and also Russell Crowe, they talk about all of that.
That's not a cheap ploy to relate to the movie or anything. I mean, they're historical experts on Robin Hood.
Oh, well, no, but they're saying that it's, you know, the 12th century. Each century has changed. In the modern tale of Robin Hood, it was not even around until the 20th century.
Right.
You know, it's kind of changed in the Victorian times, but as we know it, it didn't happen until like the 1920s, you know, where they added Maid Marian, made him strong female characters and all that.
Sure.
But what I loved about the movie is just the scale of it and the, you know, the historical aspect of it. I mean, because I thought it was very well done. I thought it was very, very well done. It's been rare since I've seen a movie where I came out going, man, I was blown away by the sheer numbers of it and the scope of it. And, of course, the last hour of the film is what everybody's been waiting for, you know, because you have the French invading.
The movie is just a bunch of waiting.
Exactly. But I liked that setup. I liked the pace of it. I did. Yeah. I was not bored at all with it.
I was bored throughout. I was bored during the battles, I would say.
Were you really?
Yeah, I really didn't like this movie. And that History Channel special, that sounds interesting.
You
Maybe
should
I
see
would
it.
Watch that.
They have these English guys on there. It's one guy who's a military expert. It goes into detail about how the bows were made, the different types of arrow, the expense of it. The horses they rode were not those big stallions you see in the movie. They rode these little tiny horses, gave it more comfortable.
Yeah.
Knights were very expensive war machines. They talked about cost. They talk about, I mean, everything that's practical that you want, when you watch these movies, you think, well, it's just there. They take it and do it. No, everything had a purpose behind it.
Right.
And that's what was really neat about the special. And it translates, after seeing that documentary, it translates it into Robin Hood.
I mean, I just don't think it translates into the movie. I think as a documentary, sort of exploring the historical accuracies or inaccuracies of the legend and how to put it in context with what happened at the time is interesting. But the way they do it in this movie is to make it not really about Robin Hood. I mean, there's so many...
Well, they take it from robbing from the rich to the poor. Now it's about human rights.
And now he's right.
Yeah, he has the Braveheart speech in front of the king. You know, you got to give everyone an equal opportunity. I'm thinking... 12th century? I don't think the king's going to do that.
No.
You know, that's a little advanced thinking for something 400 or 500 years ago. I can see maybe in the 18th century, even the 19th century, but there's no way back then when, 99% couldn't read.
It's not.
Serfs are going to go, I'm going to have my own land? No.
And they're not even proposing that. But I mean,
well, I'm just saying that they're equality. I mean, that's a joke.
It is.
Yeah,
it
but
is,
I think they were trying to teach something. I don't know what
their
purpose
is. What they're trying to do is related to modern political ideals or whatever, or what you expect out of a movie where someone is fighting for freedom, you expect it to reflect the kind of freedom that people fight for nowadays.
Right.
And I just felt that was very disingenuous. I felt like the historical aspect, because he's not a real historical figure, it's not like we're telling the real story of this real guy that was never told before. No, we're just telling a story that's just as much made up.
They took a yeoman.
As any of the other stories.
It could have been any yeoman. Yeah,
right.
It could have been anyone that took on the persona of that. But so, yeah, it's folklore. That's what it was.
Well, but
you
it's
know?
Not. But see, this is the
it
problem.
It represents it, though.
The problem, though, is that the movie makes it out as if it's not folklore, as if it's this serious, real, historical thing, just as... you know, documented as what Ridley Scott did in like Kingdom of Heaven or something, which was another dreadful movie.
But why is that bad? Why couldn't you take
because then why couldn't you take one
person to represent what they would have been like back in the 12th century? And what does it matter if he was real or not? I mean, Jesus hasn't been proven that he actually existed, but it's like everyone believes
that's
that. I'm just saying
equating Robin Hood to Jesus.
No, I'm equating that there's a dramatic license that you take someone from back then.
Of course, but I think the problem is that because he's not real, then why not take, I mean...
But the events are real.
But they're...
Just because it wasn't a Robin Hood of Loxley, you know?
Sure. I mean, they're shaping these real events around a character who's
historical
not real.
Events.
Historical events, right. Real things, the king of England and the death of Richard the Lionheart and all that stuff.
Right, because you know right away, if you know Robin Hood, it's like, wait, isn't Richard supposed to come back and save us? And,
right.
Yeah, so it's a completely different... It goes off in a totally different direction than what you're expecting for Robin Hood.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I don't think a good direction, because it's sort of this tension between it's not a serious historical drama because it's still an action movie and you still have Robin Hood, but you take what's great about Robin Hood and they take away from it. There's no robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. There's no
but you can see where that happens.
And fun,
but
and
that's
it
the,
happens at the end of the
that's
movie.
That's
like
when the Alice in Wonder.
About to begin.
That's about Alice in Wonderland that Tim Burton did. I'm sitting there and a half hour into it, I'm realizing it's not Alice in Wonderland. It's a sequel.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Right.
So I'm expecting to see all the things I know about the story.
Yeah.
But this this time, with Robin Hood, I know the story. Every kid knows the story.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you have to tell the exact same story that has been told before.
Right, but I just think that since the encompassing historical facts going around and the action combined with that, just because Robin Hood, which has never been taken as real, I mean, when you get to a certain adult, but the representation of what Robin Hood could be, the personification of a yeoman and how it became Robin Hood, and in text of this story, it still is pretty accurate. Okay, just because it's not the real Robin Hood, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, no, that's not my complaint per se. I mean, it's fine that it's not real because it's. I think my complaint is that it's not real, and yet they're sort of passing it off as real, and they're trying to throw in all this historical accuracy that is not interesting, and taking what could be interesting out of the story. And I just don't think any of the political backroom dealings are dramatized in a fascinating way. I mean, there are plenty of dramas about. Politics or period pieces or whatever that can be done well, but I just don't think it's well executed. That's the thing. I'm fine with telling a different kind of story. I don't think the kind of story they're telling here is interesting. I don't think their approach is correct, but like Alice in Wonderland, I did enjoy, which I know you didn't at all. Yeah.
Well, I think if you just take Robin Hood as maybe a title or a type of representation of a person but instead of an actual...
But then why do we even have Robin Hood? Why is it not just...
This is a different take on it. That's the whole point.
Right, but
it's a different take on it. And I think if people going in there thinking that Russell Crowe is actually playing Robin Hood and this is exactly what he did, you know, there's people who watch JFK, there's people who watch all these movies, they come out thinking it's fact.
Right.
Okay? But this is like, I mean, come on, Robin Hood. I don't think that's detrimental to the movie, or it's even a bad thing to think of that. Yeah. You know, that Robin Hood, this was the actual how it happened. Does it matter? Because the ideals in the movie, you know, and the historical aspect of it, I think makes it an entertaining kind of thing.
See, I think the historical aspect detracts from what could be a fun story. That they're so
I thought it enhanced it tremendously.
They're so concerned with making it seem real, like they know something that they don't know because they've just made up a story anyway.
But if they didn't do that, it would be really corny, and you would end up with something like Troy, you know, where it looked like actors standing around playing. I didn't think once they were running around the woods, and I didn't think once that these guys were – it wasn't laughable. Because if you
It wasn't laughable. Yeah. It was completely boring.
I thought it was intriguing. I didn't see that at all, because if you're not laughing at Russell Crowe, because if you didn't believe he was Robin Hood, which I did, I believed I was in the 12th century. Yeah. I believed the movie entirely, and I believe I hate the French. I mean, so it's that simple.
I see, and I didn't even get the right sense of villainy from the French. I wasn't even sure, like, what are the French trying to accomplish here? I mean, Mark Strong is good at being a villain, and his character, Godfrey, the sort of double-crossing guy, was a
little too close to Sherlock Holmes.
Yes,
to, you know,
but, I mean, that was better than... The other sort of villains of the piece who were a little more
that was the sign of the times, man. They were always making backdoor deals.
Right.
They were always one king against
but
another.
But I just feel like it's so unclear half the time what they're even fighting about that it's frustrating. I mean, I wanted it to be more black and white in a way.
What they were fighting about was you had a prince who wanted the throne, who hated his brother,
right.
who wanted money, who went back on everything he's ever
but
said.
Then he's
I mean,
not really the villain, and then the French. I mean, it's not
well,
as if
he
I
is.
Didn't understand the plot. I just felt like it was going in far too many different directions.
Right, and then you had his right-hand man who betrayed him because he was English and a double agent.
And I
thought it was very clear.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was very clear. I loved how it unfolded. I just thought the weakest part was the Maid Marian, you know, the love story between them.
Yeah.
Because it
there was
seemed
barely,
forced.
Barely there, yeah.
barely there. It was forced. And I just thought, you know, okay, this has to be here because Maid Marian and Robin Hood. But I thought it was tedious. That I was like, okay, can we get back to what I thought was more interesting was the historical aspect of the movie.
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't find the historical aspect interesting, but I agree that the Maid Marian stuff was
I mean,
sort
even
of,
her showing up with the big battle scene at the end on the beach in full
armor,
I went.
It the significance that you would hope for it
to have. There's no way she would have done that. She's not Joan of Arc, you know?
Right,
so, and what, she lasted 30 seconds before she got knocked into the water.
So he can save her.
Yeah.
And carry her
did you not see a D-Day representation there on the French?
It was very Saving Private Ryan.
It sure was.
Yeah.
And then you see them drowning in their armor and the blood floating.
Right.
I thought, wow. It's like.
But even that, it just felt like it was quoting other better movies.
Yeah. Well, that's how are you going to show it differently, you know?
I don't know. Well, that's not my burden.
I know. Well, you always say review the film they made and not
and I just think
not the
film,
one you wish they made.
I think the film that they made was not successful at what it tried to do.
I just think it was just one. It belongs up there with Lawrence of Arabia, but not in terms of the greatest film of all time, but in terms of an epic. I thought it satisfied every requirement for it, and I thought it was great filmmaking, excellent direction, act. I mean, I had a ball with this.
Right.
I mean, I was blown. I came out of there with the jaw on the ground.
Wow.
You know, well, and trust me, I went in with this big chip going, right, oh, this is going to be stupid. Right. And I totally misjudged it, but it was awesome.
I mean, well, that's great when that happens, when you can come out of something being like, wow, I was totally wrong about this and I had a great time. I did not feel that way, however. So
you hated it.
I mean, again, hate strong, but I did not care for it.
You wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No kidding.
I definitely wouldn't.
I can see you having problems, but telling people not to see Robin Hood.
I think it's a waste of time. Oh, I really do.
Total opposite. So, total. Right, not a waste of time.
That is this,
and
is
you know
most...
Russell Crowe's temper, so I would watch that.
I don't think Russell Crowe listens to this podcast.
No, but that if he did, and he knocks on your door,
I will get some armor.
Just call me;
chain.
I'll help.
Yeah, there you go, Jeff. Yeah.
That was a great scene too, where she made Marion help take off Robin Hood's. I mean, that sense of
mail.
I had no idea it was that heavy. I mean, the sense of what the armor they wore. I there were little nuances I thought were really, really authentic, and that's what I appreciated about it. So.
Yeah, I did not appreciate it.
You were bored.
I was bored, exactly.
I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that's...
But that happens all the time. People see it's art.
Right,
I mean,
you
saw something different.
We can have a disagreement. That's, you know...
If I could think of that movie I hated, I bet you probably went, you know, I like that.
Yeah,
and
you
I'll
never
like,
know.
No.
If you think of it, you keep thinking.
I got to think.
Some other crappy movies opening this weekend.
More things to semi-hate.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's a disappointing week as far as I'm concerned. The romantic comedy, Letters to Juliet.
Do you know what you are? You are the Montagues and the Capulets.
Oh, you mean... Oh, well, at least I'm not Romeo.
That's the understatement of a century.
No, because you see, if I found the love of my life, I wouldn't stand there like an idiot. Whispering in the garden. I would just grab her from that blasted balcony and be done with it.
Do you believe in destiny?
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's destiny that I'm here right now.
And this is what I keep saying about this movie, is this is the third worst romantic comedy set in Europe to be released in 2010.
Wow.
So
third.
You know, it's not as bad as When in Rome or Leap Year, but it is still pretty forgettable. It's a very formulaic romantic comedy with Amanda Seyfried. She plays an American. She goes to Verona, to Italy, and discovers this, which is apparently a real thing, which is cool. These letters that people write to Juliet from Romeo and Juliet, which is set in Verona. And there's a group of people in the city who respond to these letters. People write in asking for advice, mostly women, I guess, about their relationships, and these women write back.
It's like writing to Santa Claus.
Something like
that. And the Marines or the postal workers.
You get a response, yeah. And so it's interesting, and this is sort of inspired by a book about this real thing that happens, these real letters, which I thought was a fascinating idea.
If you were pitching me that and I was a producer or I was a student, I mean, that sounds like a great premise for a romantic comedy.
It really...
It's original. It's got a romantic background in it with Romeo and Juliet. I mean, I could just see, go write this. I mean, that's a great spec script.
I mean, I think what could have been great, I mean, it could have been a great documentary about who are these real people. And
follow the letters.
Or maybe sort of like vignettes of different stories about people's lives. And so what's frustrating about this movie is they have this really interesting idea, this actual thing that really goes on. And what the plot of the movie is that Amanda Seyfried's character discovers an old letter that's been hidden away for 50 years, and she writes back, and the woman who wrote this letter shows up in Verona, played by Vanessa Redgrave, and she decides she's going to find her long-lost love who she gave up on 50 years before. So you have this other story that I thought was interesting, the idea of the love story kind of coming about towards the end of your life, you know, the new love in old age and whatever, and all of this stuff is used as a plot device so that Amanda Seyfried and some boring blonde dude can fall in love.
Australian, no doubt.
And he was British.
Oh, was he British?
I don't know what nationality.
I think he was really Australian.
Yeah, maybe he actually is. But the point is, he's boring. She's boring. I like Amanda Seyfried, but the character is boring. And all this other stuff is like sort of pushed into the background. And so not only do you have to sit through this contrived romantic comedy where you can see from the first moment.
So it's a comedy.
It's not like a crazy, wacky comedy, but it's definitely comedic.
Romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy. I mean, it's not like When in Rome, which had just a lot of ridiculous, huge-ass set pieces, and that was horrible.
Disney did that.
It was worse than this movie. It's a little gentler than that, but it's definitely comedic, and it's got all the same little contrivances. She's engaged to someone else, and then she falls in love with him, but has to choose. And, of course, the boring fiancé is not even, you know, an issue, of course, but you don't realize that. So that stuff is all lame, and what makes it lamer is the fact that there's other things going on that could have made for a much better movie. So Don't see that.
A lot of couples just are disappointed right now.
I mean, that's too, yeah. If you're looking for, because
the commercial
romantic
is wonderful. It's such great marketing on that. Well, everyone who sees it, they're like, honey, take me to Letters to Julia. I'm like, okay. You
unfortunately,
know.
You're not going to see the marketing campaign. You no. actually have to see the movie.
That's what trailers are made for. So you're saying no.
No, I'm saying no on that. And I say no also on a smaller film called Princess Kailani that's opening in one theater in Vegas. It's another historical film. It's a true story about the Princess of Hawaii. She was the last princess before Hawaii was annexed by the United States. And I think this is an interesting sort of underrepresented area of American history. You don't see movies about Hawaii or how the U.S. basically came in and just took this land.
Oh, there's a strong movement to return the Hawaiian Islands. It's still alive and well.
Right. I mean, there's obviously a core, I think, probably people who are interested in this who know about it. I'm sure in Hawaii this is a fairly well-known thing. But in general, I think it's not, and to do a movie about it is a good idea, but this is just very dry, and, you know, it could have been a documentary. It would have been better because it doesn't – there's no dramatic life to it. There's no excitement. I mean, the princess, she falls in love with this Englishman, but it all feels just very rote and kind of traveling towards a destination. And you get to the end, and you realize you didn't really learn very much about her or the real true meaning of what happened, which I think would have been the positive thing that this movie could have done. So – no on that.
Three no's.
Three no's. It's a bad week, unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned. Jeff says see Robin Hood. So
please. It's a lot of fun.
Listen to Jeff. And DVD recommendations.
Yes.
You've got a few other movies that I didn't like to recommend.
Legion. You know, I love Constantine. I love these kind of movies. Legion could have been better.
Crappy movies.
It could have been better. Yeah, because I like kind of these movies like this. But now it's on DVD. It's a different aspect.
Yeah.
So you have... is it Gabriel?
I barely even remember.
I can't remember. It's been a while.
Can,
so they're all
really
trapped
remember.
In a diner. The end of the world is coming.
Right.
One of the angels comes down to save the next of kin from God to save the world. And of course, all the other angels are after him. And so they make mankind's last stand in his roadside diner with Dennis Quaid in the middle of nowhere. So I thought it was a pretty cool sci-fi. I mean, I liked it.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not supposed to. It's science fiction.
Yeah,
you know?
it's
a religious,
sense.
Apocalyptical kind of film, and you can't put any rhyme or reason. I just thought it was a great premise.
I
thought it was pretty cool.
I feel like this premise didn't even hold up. Another movie you're going to recommend, which I thought had a good premise. But
Daybreakers.
Right.
Yeah,
which is a cool idea.
I love vampire films, you know, because when you do horror films, especially, or even science fiction, it's always premise. Because if you come to me and go, well, I want to make a vampire film, you think, oh my gosh, okay,
another vampire movie.
What are you going to do? Are you going to have teenagers and romance? Okay, that's Twilight. Are you going to have 30 Days a Night? Hey, oh my gosh, in Alaska, you're going to have, you know, a setting. Also is a key to it. Where is this going to happen? It's like, 30 Days of Night, vampires would flourish there.
Yeah.
So now with Daybreakers, now they have become a species. But humans are an endangered species because they're running out of blood. So they're trying to create a synthetic blood. Humans are hiding now because vampires can't control themselves. They become mutated if they don't get human blood. And it's turned corporate. And so you have Sam Neill now. Sam Neill now, who's running this worldwide corporation about trying to find a blood alternative. And meanwhile, they're trying to capture the last remaining humans and milk them or whatever, or replicate them. And I thought that was such a cool concept.
It was a great concept.
Yeah,
it really is.
Thought the movie had a very B quality to it, and I thought it was very well made, and I loved it. I really did.
I
didn't even know that was coming out until I checked before I came here.
I'm going
to Best Buy after this. I'm getting both of them.
Wow.
So, usually
they
send them to me, but I forgot. I forgot.
Those are strong recommendations. You know, I would say about Daybreakers, I think that one is worth renting. I probably wouldn't have recommended it in theaters, but I think it does have a really cool premise. It looks cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
out of the two, I think Daybreakers is the winner.
It's a better movie.
It's better, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I still think Daybreakers in execution kind of falls apart, especially in the last third where they seem to don't know where they're going to go, and so they just shoot everybody.
Right.
And that was disappointing, but it is a cool idea, and it's worth, especially if you like vampire movies or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
very District 9. It's got this elsewhere.
Oh, it's not that good.
Well, no, I mean District 9, I mean in terms of you think you're somewhere else and in another time,
and it's
believability.
It creates a good sense of its own world,
right,
and that is good. And one other movie on DVD that I want to recommend is The Messenger with Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster. It was nominated for a couple Academy Awards, and
Woody's amazing in that.
And Woody is and Ben Foster too. I mean, I think both of them are good actors, and it's a movie about soldiers who've come home from battle, but it's not it's not making big political statements, and it's not trying to encompass everything that there is about the war. It's simply, here are these characters, and here are sort of how they cope with what they're dealing with.
Right.
And I thought it was a well done. It's not a great movie, but it's a good.
But it's an interesting insight to how do they notify the dead. Like, because you know what happens and their policies and like that, and you see it in Private Ryan, but they've only touched on it for maybe a quick scene. It's always been glossed over, but here's where you can just imagine, you know. Getting something like that, them showing up, because I guess they do it right away.
Right. Yeah. It effectively conveys that seriousness and the heightened emotions of that kind of.
Yeah, because Harrelson really conveys the patriotism and the responsibility of doing that.
Right.
And he instills that. Yeah. You know, you can see that he just totally has this. You know, this is a sacred trust to us, and we have to. And just the amazing performance.
It is a great performance and a good movie.
Not for everybody, you know. But
I mean, I think if you're wary of movies about the war and you don't want to see a political thing or whatever, it's just a good drama about interesting, well-rounded characters.
The misfortunes of war. This is something that has to be done. Here's a dramatic way of doing it. And it's pretty.
And it's good. So definitely that. So Messenger, Legion, and Daybreakers all on DVD. Check those out. And Jeff says go see Robin Hood.
Please do. And his Merry Men.
My thanks to Jeffrey K. Howard for joining me this week. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.